Thank you. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation: He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Varanga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I'll smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Varanga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Varanga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed as pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps.
Nama Krishna Goswami Niti Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namini. Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namine. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namine. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nite Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Uravani Pracharine Nivase Sasunyavadi Askachade Satarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. So welcome everybody to today's celebration of the Disappearance Festival. Jai Srila Ritadvaja Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So welcome again, everybody, to today's celebration, the Disappearance Festival of His Holiness, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. So today we have some unique things happening. Of course, when we celebrate the disappearance of any great person, any great Vaishnava, the mood is of committing ourselves to the mission. And for those of us who were here and we saw the video or heard the audio of Gurudev speaking this morning at Bhaktivedanta Manor, you can see how much it came through in his lecture, in his talk about how important it is that we push forward Srila Prabhupada's mission in a way that Srila Prabhupada wanted. And so this is very much the mood that Gurudev had. And so it's a little bit of a more somber celebration than Vyasa Puja, which is when we have Pushpanjali and everything. But today, we have some wonderful things that are happening. Of course, the presence of Srila Ritadvaja Swami Maharaj with us, who was very, very close to Gurudev and served him so very closely, intimately, in his final days when he was in Dallas. And also we have His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu with us, who was also very close to Gurudev, spent some time, quite a bit of time, I would say, here in Dallas, right here, staying right here. And, of course, Mother Vishnu Priya also, who's come today. So we thank you very much for coming. And also we have with us a wonderful a devotee of Gurudev, Mohini. She's sitting on the wheelchair. For those of you who don't know who she is, she's coming from Pune, and wonderful devotees, great love for Gurudev, and her dying wish was that she would come to Dallas and spend some time in Dallas. And she has a medical condition that actually doesn't allow her to travel. In fact, initially, spiritual master Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj actually refused the permission for her to come, to fly like that, to come outside, to leave home like that. But after we persuaded him and had some nice discussions, he agreed to relent and say, okay, she can go to Dallas. And so with great effort, the whole family left everything to bring her to Dallas. And so we hear from her today as well. And one of the things she wants to do while she is here is obviously to meet anybody who had anything, any association with Gurudev, or even if not association, that knows of some pastimes like that, stories, and of course about Dallas as well, because this was his headquarters around the world. Dallas is where he was stationed. Gurudev was stationed, was home for him. So I thought I'd let you know that we have some devotees here who may come around to you and ask you if you can give us some time so you can spend with her to talk about this. And she's going to be spending at least a few weeks here, hopefully a few months. But the sooner we meet, the better, because you never know, her condition is such that anything can happen at any time, and we may not have the opportunity if we wait. So with that, I'm going to get started with the offerings for today's program. We'll start with Sankarshan Prabhu, if you don't mind, Prabhu, you might come and say some things. Mother Vishnu Priya, do you think you always say no? For some reason, you never agree to speak. Do you think you'll favor us today saying something? No? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Very, very wonderful to be here. It's just like, wow. This place is amazing. I just wanted to share with you what it was like when Tamal Krishna Goswami transformed this place. It was just absolutely amazing. On November 7th, 1978, I came up here with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He was Ghanisham Das, along with Kavi Chandra Maharaj. We drove up from Houston. And there was only three devotees here. Divya Shakti and Divya Gyanananda and one of their devotees. Everybody had left. Tamal Krishna Goswami had negotiated with Satsarupa Maharaj to get this temple because he didn't have a zone. He was a GVC at large with no zone. So he negotiated to get Houston and Dallas, Chicago and St. Louis. So Satsarupa Maharaj gave him Dallas and he went to Giranagari and everybody went with him except for three devotees and it was practically a deserted place. But it was amazing. All of a sudden, all these devotees are coming in from here and there. Devotees are coming. It was just amazing to see the place transformed. And the big thing is they got those Tennessee householders. That was the biggest thing when they pulled out their roots from suburbia and moved into the community. It was amazing. It was like, wow. Just amazing to see how he was transforming everything. You learn that we have the Sankirtan scores, right? How many books? But we had one, it was how many houses did we get? He had devotees going under. He's doing like in a very sneaky way, so they wouldn't realize that we're buying up the whole neighborhood and they jack up the prices very cleverly. You're going on negotiating with all the different householders in the neighborhood and one house, another house, another house. It was amazing. Wow, just amazing. Wow, and he was like a magician, you know. It's amazing how you can. You know, getting practically the whole block. It was unbelievable, you know. In the beginning, it was just this lot, and there was the empty lot here and one other, and that was it. He got practically the whole block. Wow, it's amazing. That's one very strong memory I have of him. Another one was while I was up in Norman doing a little preaching center. This is during the Christmas marathon, I forget which year. And his servant looped. And he was just getting ready to start writing Servant of the Servant. He was going to go on a big writing retreat in Pandava Vijay's house in Houston. And now all of a sudden he doesn't have a servant. Everybody's out on the marathon. But I'm sitting up in Norman. So I was the candidate. And I agreed to that. It sounded like just him and me on a writing retreat. The two of us all alone. So I came down and drove down with my little Toyota from Norman. He said, "We want to use your Toyota for the marathon." I was thinking, oh my God, they're going to wreck it, you know. And I told Goswami I was really in anxiety about giving my car for the marathon. He said, "Tell him you lost the keys." I didn't do that, but I just said, "No, you can't have it. No, you can't have it." But it was really, really sweet. Wow. I was the Vajari, the cook, and the secretary, all rolled into one. It's really, really something special, you know. He would dictate, and then I would transcribe. I was serving Radha Damodar and cooking for him, and just really an amazing time. I remember that. Very amazing time. I remember one day he was having the darshan here of Radhakala Chandji. I was standing right beside him. He said, Like, this is how I get intelligence, by taking darshan of the deities. I get intelligence. It's a very profound understanding, you see. See, we have a difficulty, the mental platform. We're all suffering from this still. You know, after all these years, we still deal with that damn mental platform, you see. But the deities will take you beyond the mental platform. You see? If you take the darshan deep, deep, deep into your heart, you see, then you can actually get off the mental plane. So that's a very nice realization I have. Or a nice realization he had, and then reflecting on that gives me so many nice realizations. I had the opportunity to be in charge of his tape ministry. That was quite something. In the beginning, there was all just God brothers here. There's practically, you know, hardly any disciples. So God brothers were doing things like running his tape ministry, etc. That was really sweet, because I spent the whole day just hearing his lectures. It was really Hare Krishna. So nice. Just so happy to see you, Prabhu. Yeah, it was his tape ministry was really a wonderful service. It was really it was very popular. That tape ministry, it was really, really popular, tape ministry. So when I think about the great contribution that he's made, I think back to his early days in San Francisco. Incredible contribution he made to this movement. Incredible contribution. He tells the story how Jayananda was driving a taxi cab to support the whole temple. And Prabhupada said it wasn't fair. He had one devotee supporting the whole temple. Everybody has to go get jobs. So Goswami Maharaj got a job in a photo processing factory. And he hated it. The only respite was the lunch break. He could chant japa, take a little prasadam. But then the idea was to go out on Harinam. And they collected money. So he said he went to get out of that job. So he said, I'll take charge to develop this program. Now we get out of the photo factory. He just wanted to get out of that photo factory. So that was an amazing thing, how the Nama Sankirtan began in San Francisco. And he was a key player from the very beginning. Key player. I remember the first time I met Goswami. I was recruited by Vishnu John Swami back in 71 down in Austin. And so I spent a little time here in Dallas with Satsarupa, and then I rejoined Vishnu John Swami. He was traveling with what's called the traveling rock opera. So then later on, Vishnu John Swami began the Radharamana Traveling Sankirtan Party. And I was in Florida, and he gave me to the Miami Yatra. And then Miami gave me to Gainesville. I was being transferred around a bit. But I remember I'd always heard about Tamal Krishna Goswami. I've never seen him. So then the Radharamana, now he has joined with the Radharamana party. It's, you know, they're getting the buses and things expanding, and they show up in Gainesville. And I remember they came into the room, and Vishnu John Swami, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, Vishnu John can eat me under the table. So it was very nice to see this devotee who was very dear to Vishnu John Swami. Because Vishnu John Swami is very, very dear. He made me the devotee. Prabhupada told me, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness, Vishnu Jana Swami. So Vishnu Jana Swami is very dear. And then to meet this God brother who is very, very dear to Vishnu Jana Swami, it was a very wonderful thing. Very wonderful thing. So when we think about these great Vaishnavas that were so instrumental in establishing this movement on the orders of Srila Prabhupada. These great personalities actually are helping us so much in our understanding of how to please Srila Prabhupada, how to serve Prabhupada's mission. This is a day of great lamentation for us. That prayer by Narottam, he's saying, I will smash my head on the stone and enter into the fire. The more we can learn to feel this anguish of separation, being separated from these great personalities, that is actually the awakening of Krishna consciousness. It may seem contradictory, although this was bliss, and here we are crying. How you can say it's Krishna consciousness bliss and you're crying for a departed soul, one could argue, you see. But actually, the more you can feel that the pangs of separation from these great personalities, that is burning away all the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy from the heart, and bringing the actual awakening of transcendental bliss. So it's amazing. The more you feel miserable, the more you feel blissful. But that's how the process works. You see, transcendental emotions, whether they're lamentation or jubilation, they're transcendental. They're ecstatic. Transcendental lamentation is ecstatic. So the more we can feel Goswami's separation today, that will be very, very good for us. The more we can feel, oh, when will I see him again? When will I meet him again? When can I be chastised again? You see? This is very, very powerful for us. We can think like this. When will I meet him again? When can I see him again? Of course, they are not absent. We only think they're absent. Actually, they're not really absent. Prabhupada told my godbrother Shivananda Singh, he was preaching in Germany. There was nobody there. He was practically all alone. Maybe one other man. Maybe all alone. But he was very much feeling separation from the devotees in West Berlin, sleeping in abandoned buildings in the beginning, if you can imagine. Prabhupada said, if you simply remember my humble teachings, you have my association and the association of your God brothers also. You see? So these devotees, actually, they're not absent. We think they're absent. Actually, they are not absent. The more we can remember Krishna, the more we can remember the instructions of Krishna, the more we can remember the instructions of my spiritual master. You see? Spiritual master is always present. He's never absent. The spiritual master takes up residence in the heart of the disciple. So we take the orders of our spiritual master as our very life and soul, embracing them tightly, tightly, tightly within the heart. I can give up anything, I can give up everything, but I can never give up the orders I have received from my spiritual master. If one has that staunch determination, then one will feel how the spiritual master is present at every minute, blessing, guiding, inspiring, etc., the disciple. So let us all do that. Let us take this principle that I must embrace the orders of my spiritual master. It's my very life and soul. Then I will never be separated from him for a single moment in all of eternity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Sankarshan Prabhu ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chakri Prabhu.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Iti Nomine. So one thing I wanted to mention was how much Gurudev loved his disciples. He really had so much love and affection for his disciples. He was always caring about their welfare, trying to see how they were doing, even materially and spiritually, always caring about their welfare. Whatever they needed, he would try to help them. So that's one feature I always remember about Gurudev. His disciples were like his children. He really cared about them very much. So some other incidents I wanted to mention were concerning deity worship. Gurudev was very particular about deity worship. One time I was outside picking flowers for the deities. We were dressing the next day, my wife and I, and we were picking the flowers in Kalachanji Park and picking leaves. And Gurudev was walking around the block. So he saw me picking the leaves, and I don't remember if we exchanged any words or not, but then the next day we dressed the deities, and Gurudev came down for darshan. And he was looking at the deities, and he called me over and he said, "The deities look so beautiful." He said, "They look like the enjoyers of Vrindavan." So we had decorated the altar with a lot of flowers everywhere. There was a nice basket for Radharani, and there were just flowers everywhere. And he said, "It's very refreshing. They look like the enjoyers of Vrindavan." So he really liked a lot of flowers on the altar. And he was really pleased by that service. Whatever service anyone did nicely, Gurudev always appreciated it. And he would encourage that devotee in that service. If someone was really good at doing something, he would really encourage them. And then another time, we had just finished dressing the deities, and I think we were standing by Prabhupada, and Gurudev came in and had darshan. And then again, he was so encouraging. He just came over to us and he said, "You and your wife are doing a really wonderful service for Radha Kalachanji." He said, "You're doing a wonderful seva for Radha Kalachanji. Just keep doing what you're doing." And he said, "Radha Kalachanji is very pleased with you." And then on another occasion, after we addressed the deities, again with a lot of flowers everywhere, and Radharani had her nice basket. We always put a basket for Radharani. There was, every time we dressed, we always had a basket. And we even would buy our own baskets and put different flowers in it. We tried to get magnolia flowers too, because he liked magnolias a lot. That was one of his favorite flowers, magnolia. So one time I put a magnolia in the basket also. So one time, I think he just had darshan, and he called us over and he said, mostly speaking to my wife, he said, "Now I give you your certificate of diploma in dressing Radha Kalachanji." And he said, "You know me." He said, "I don't give it very easily." So he said, "Now there's three people that qualify to dress Radha Kalachanji." He said, "Your wife and Chandravali and Gopali." So he was very, very encouraging. And I think whenever we go on the altar, we always think of him and try to please him in our service. Another thing he also mentioned that I try to remember, he said, "You should read Krishna book, remember Krishna's pastimes, and then when you're on the altar with the deities, you can remember those pastimes and relish them even more. So one other thing, today during class, he was mentioning about our culture, that the Vaishnav culture is very important, that why we wear a dhoti, why we wear a tilak, that it's important for us to continue doing that. That some people may say, well, that's Indian culture, but it's very important for us because that enhances our Krishna consciousness. Some people now are saying that it's not so important, but Gurudev was emphasizing that is important because that's part of our Vedic tradition. And then one other thing he mentioned, when the spiritual master is gone, then we should follow his instructions. And there were two things he mentioned: to our best ability, try to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, perfect ourselves, and then also distribute Krishna consciousness to others. And that would give us full perfection. So I always pray to Srila Gurudev, and I always feel that his protection is still there. Jai Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Hare Krishna, jai Chakri Prabhu ki jai. Maharaj, can you go through? So there's going to be a program this evening as well. Of course, a lot of us are not going to be able to speak because we want to make sure that lunchtime coincides with those who are coming in for lunch. Then the evening, of course, we're starting at 6 o'clock. That program is going all the way through 9 or 10 o'clock, so a lot of us will be able to speak at that time. Just letting you know. Hare Krishna. It'll be upstairs in the darshan room.
Om Agyan Tamanandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramanitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We're born in the darkness of ignorance. Our spiritual master is opening our heart with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, we offer our most humble and respectful obeisances in the dust of his lotus feet. I have everything I've ever written about Tamal Krishnamurti in my computer. It's one of the few things I save. But I do have a few notes from some esteemed Vaishnavas across the country. Brahmatirtha Prabhu wrote a little something. I thought, I bought my ticket to come to this festival 2 months ago. And I forgot that it was a festival today. I forgot completely about it over the last 2 months. And last night, one of the ladies, Marley, at the Atma Yoga Center, they were saying, Marley's giving class Sunday, he's giving class at the Bhakta Riksha. And somebody said, I knew you were giving class tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I said, what's going on? Oh, I forgot completely about it. I forgot why I came here. Gurudev said I was wise. He said I was wise, right? Most people say I'm a wise guy, but he said I was like a sly fox, very, very, like, you know, very quick in intelligence. He liked it. So here's a little something from Brahmatirtha. The reason I said I forgot is I just sent this out like 9 o'clock this morning when Nityananda Prabhu sent the schedule, and I thought, oh, I should ask him to speak. So here's Brahmatirtha. Of course, obeisances. When Srila Prabhupada was here, he could always go to Tamal Krishna Goswami for the crisis de jure, knowing his devotion and intelligence could figure out his solution. After Prabhupada left our society, after Srila Prabhupada left our society, could always turn to TKG. Sadly, he is not replaceable, and so many times I have lamented he is no longer here to consult, advise, console, and encourage. His legacy, though, is seen in the perfect ladies and gentlemen of his disciples. When I meet a disciple of TKG, I know it immediately. They have a distinguishing gravity and etiquette, since they were trained so perfectly well by the master teacher. In this way, the TKG legacy continues, and my sadness of his departure softens. Brahmatirtha Prabhu. Hridayananda Goswami. Okay, thanks. Here are a few words. It's 19 pages. No, it's only a few words. In these times of limited access for the Western Hare Krishna movement, I remember how much we miss the dynamic, innovative leadership of my dear godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami. As one of Prabhupada's leading generals, he had a unique ability to find ways to spread this movement. Remembering his achievements and taking shelter in the Lord, we should all do our best to follow his example and find the ways and means to spread this all-important mission. And then, Giriraj Swami. I texted him about 10 o'clock. I thought, why not? You know, it's only 8 o'clock there. He's probably ready to go. My dear devotees in Dallas, please accept my best wishes. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. When we read this, please accept my best wishes. I don't know the years. My calendar is not set right. But it was years ago, him and I sat down, because some devotees that have disciples, they say, please accept my blessings, as Srila Prabhupada did. And we sat down and we said, we're not comfortable with that. Because to give blessings, as we were discussing last night, at the Atma Yoga Center, we went, because sometimes Krishna says mercy and sometimes he says grace. And so mercy means that you have the ability to bestow upon someone something that you possess, and grace is, anyway, you know the different meanings. And so we decided that we would say, please accept our best wishes, because almost anyone can have best wishes. And I thought I would just introduce his reading by stating our conclusion for ourselves. Others, maybe they can give blessings, but we felt ourselves inadequate to do such a thing. Please accept my best wishes. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. On this special occasion, though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit. And we do feel them, isn't it true? And I am confident that Srila Gurudev will manifest his presence and give you his mercy and bring you all closer to him, Srila Prabhupada and Shishirada Kalachanji, in their eternal loving service. Hare Krishna, your humble aspiring servant, Giriraj Swami. Such a nice soul. Great soul. Oops, that's not. I think that's all the ones that I'll check before I end. As you all know, Goswami Maharaj and I were quite close friends. It began I mean, we were friends. We knew each other because of our being members of the Hare Krishna movement. Probably since about Radha Damodar came to Gainesville 76, and I don't remember if he was with him. Maybe he was. It's in Servant of the Servant, right? When he came to Gainesville. But Radha Damodar came to Gainesville several times, and it was always the famous Gainesville challenge that the Radha Damodar Ramacharis could not eat as much as the Gainesville cooks could cook. And one of the Radha Damodar, I still remember one of the Radha Damodar devotees coming to the temple and just taking 1 gallon milk jug of sweet rice and taking the lid off and the whole gallon of sweet rice and put it down. Let us begin. The challenge is on. So, you know, how do you chug a whole gallon of sweet rice without, you know, just the whole thing? Breathing through the nose, right? But the Radha Damodar was defeated by Geesville. It wasn't Gainesville. It was known as Geesville. You must remember Geesville. But our relationship really solidified. Was the year 99 or 2000 when he was diagnosed? I don't remember the year. Could someone remember when he was diagnosed with cancer? It turned out we were all together. You know, my calendar was upset, you know. 99, when it was, you know, I was, for some reason, I was driving to California. I had no purpose, as usual. And it was in the middle of a, although it was December, there was like a hurricane in Florida. And I had to pull off and stay in a hotel. And I got on my phone, checked my email to do some work. And he said, can you call me? And I said, so I called him. He gave me his number. And he said, have you heard? And I said, yeah, I heard from Kunti, because I was going to see Rupa. He's one of my students, that you have cancer. He said, could you stop and visit in Dallas? I said, well, I'm on my way. So the story goes that he had cancer, and he was deciding who was going to assist him. And it came down to myself or Indra Drimdamaras. And you've heard this story, I think. And so when I was driving, I was actually in Tallahassee. I was like outside of Tallahassee when I had to pull over. So I drove to Dallas. And on the way, I said, you know, if he's got cancer, he probably needs someone to tend to, you know, if he needs it, I'm going to do it. I already made up my mind. And so we got here, and there was about four or five sannyasis. And I was given a prominent seat on the table, although I'm the junior man, so I knew something was up. And conversation was, it was like a script from a theatrical performance. It was totally scripted. And then afterwards, when it came time for LSD, I mentioned that the other day at Ron DeWitty's house, and I said, well, okay, after lunch, I said, okay, a little LSD. And they go, what are you talking about? Oh, you don't know, that means left side down. Okay. And I was given one of the couches upstairs, and then I really knew something was up, right? But I didn't say anything. The conversation was kind of going around the circle, and I said, they're going to ask me, but I'm just waiting for when, right? So finally they said, well, we need someone to take care of Guruji. What do you think? And I said, well, I can do it. And Tumal Krishna looked at me, he says, I said, well, I was going to say it earlier, but I knew you had arranged, you'd taken so much time to make this, you know, thing happen and to convince me to do this. I didn't want to make all that time go to waste. So I just decided to let it play out. And he goes, you're the first one to ever, you know, get me before I got you. And I'm sorry. And so that relationship, it blossomed very much. I know that you all know many times we've mentioned this, that it was quite an ordeal, as most things were with Gurudev. It was quite the ordeal. If anything could have gone wrong, it went wrong. And even if something wasn't wrong, it was wrong, because that's the way Gurudev was. And but I remember one thing I got here. On my little notes I took while sitting here, was that one day we were sitting and reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita together, And he stopped and he said, you know, even though I had to undergo two surgeries and this and that, he says, this has been so relishable, just sitting here and being with you all day long and chanting and reading and being together and associating and just getting close. And he said, I have so much confidence in you. So much confidence in you. You know, there's, as Shankarshan Prabhu was saying, and Chakri, that he was always very encouraging. I mean, it could be pretty cutting. He never cut me. But he was always very, very encouraging in that way. And he said that that even though it was a difficult time during the illness, it was also a relishable time, because we really took advantage of the hearing and chanting process, which is aushavadiya maya. This is actual medicine for the disease of material existence. One thing he said to me was, just be yourself. Don't worry about it, just be yourself. A lot of times people will tell you, you have to be like this, you have to be like that, you have to do this, you have to do that. Temples want you to do certain things that aren't of your nature. Of course, there's emergency service, and we do that. We do our emergency service with great joy and great appreciation. I was just on the 18th chapter of the Gita yesterday, and I can't remember which verse it was, but Srila Prabhupada was saying that when one is in a particular position of the devotional service, he should think that, yes, Krishna has placed me in this particular position, and it is my duty to perform this service in a very blissful, Krishna-conscious and proper way to do it. Actually see that Krishna has sent this service to me. So he told me then, you know, be yourself. Another thing is that after we had that, how many months was I here? I think I was here 3 months, the first stint, you know, because my mother and father also had cancer. And at one point I had to run off, and then Giridhari Swami took over. And then Tamal Krishnamurti called me back and said, maybe it wasn't 3 months, maybe it was like a month and a half. When did we get the notice that the kidney was cut off? About a month and a half later, wasn't it? Yeah. So then he called me up and said, well, Maharaj, you got to come back. We got another issue. And so I had to come back. And I still remember the day when I had to leave to take the boys on the summer trip, and he was going to go back to Cambridge, I think it was. We were so emotionally invested in each other, we couldn't even look each other in the eyes. And that day, during prasadam, he said, I'm going to pay you back. He said, don't worry, I'm going to pay you back. I said, pay me back for what? I said, you know, this was like, there's no payback here. And he said, no, no. He said, I owe you one. It's not exactly his words, but you know what he's saying. He says, I owe it. He said, I'm going to pay you back. And to this day, all of his disciples, wherever I go in the world, are extending that payback. Wherever I go, as Brahmatirtha said, whenever you run into a disciple of Tamal Krishnamurti's and they know that you're connected to him, whatever is theirs is yours. And I do deeply appreciate that, and I do know that it's coming from him. I had a nice exchange with him one time, two nice exchanges in India. I don't remember the year again, but he had gone to India, and we met on that little road that goes to his house, and we started talking, you know, from the Krishna Balaram temple to his house. Is that alley? I don't know. Is it an alley or a street? I don't know. It looks like an alley. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just here for Kartik, and I do a vretta. What's your vretta? I said, a half a cup of almonds and raisins mixed together every day. The last 5 days, one cup of milk mixed with 3 cups of water. He said, oh, it's good. I said, how are you? And he said, my conclusion is our movement needs pure devotees. That our movement is in desperate need of pure devotees. I'm here to purify myself. I want to simply become a pure devotee of Krishna. I'm here to purify myself. I'm going to do whatever it takes. So that was pretty interesting for me that, you know, here he was, the big, big leader of our movement, and just, you know, kind of slowing down all those managerial aspects of life. You know, he must have been in his 40s then, and just saying, I have to emphasize purity. We have that purity is a force, books is a basis, utility is a principle, and purity is, you know, purity was one more. Preaching is the essence, and purity is a force. So he wanted to get that force, and he was willing to do it. Another little incident I had with him. I was with Maturanath. I don't remember who else was in the car. Maturanath had that big marquee at that time. Really liked that marquee. I don't know why he liked that marquee. You know, it's like because it's a big car. I think, you know, he liked the big ride. He told me he was thinking of getting a Saffron 57 Chevy one time, but that wasn't that. That's a classic car. He was like, anyway, that's another story. Oh, yeah. He had that automatic salt grinder and pepper grinder. Everybody else had to grind it or shake it. He kept his little buzz room. So anyway, I remember being in the car. I know you were driving, and Gurudev's in the front, and I'm in the back, and I don't remember who the third, fourth party was, but there was a managerial issue, not super intense, but there was something that really needed to be done. And so I just tried, you know, my nature was, I'm totally a non-conflict type person. I don't like conflict. I'll run from conflict. I'll hide from conflict. I'll die not to have conflict. And I'm just non-confrontational and don't like conflict. So I just gave him like a little, an easy out, you know, let's just stick our heads in the sand and it's not there kind of response. I don't know exactly what the issue was, so I can't remember what I said, but it was just like, let's just brush it aside. Let's just like stick our head in the sand, kind of like, you know, I'll just make it positive, kind of like a Tai Chi move, you know, just... That would be like a more positive way that I responded. And Maturanath turned around, Gurudev turned around, and this guy sitting next to me looked at me and said, "We don't do things like that here." that's not how it works here in Dallas. as Brahmatirtha says that as our society grows, you know, like when you're a kid, they always say you have growing pains. I'm 65, and there's growing pains all the way through, right? At 65, I'm feeling all kinds of growing pains. They ain't the same. They ain't the same as they were when I was a kid, but they're still there, and they are growing pains. And our movement is growing, and it has, you know, many pains, many struggles. You can say struggles, you can say, challenges, you know, and then, or you can say, with my new mantra is opportunities. How you slant the word, you can say, you know, obstacles, you can say challenges, you can say, opportunities. There are opportunities for us to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada. To perfect this movement, to become something that Srila Prabhupada would be proud of. And needless to say, Goswami Maharaj was so spiritually intelligent on the managerial side. Also, I mean, scripturally he was very, very astute, but spiritual management was really what he understood. He could, like he said, he started like on the Sankirtan. Who was it? Was it Chakri or you that mentioned that he volunteered to take over the Sankirtan team in L.A.? You know, he was working in a factory. Can't remember which one of you said. Was that you? Yeah. And he said, I'll take up that, just anything. But, you know, he did take up the Sankirtan leadership, the Hari Nam and stuff like that, and made it into something amazing. I mean, you know the story when they were in Germany, that at first it was just like, you know, they were being almost attacked, and then he told all the devotees, taught them how to do the German goose step, and they went on and sang, all right, now I'm doing the goose steps, and the Germans loved them, you know? It was just like so spiritually keen and stuff like that. And so our movement desperately misses him and his guidance, because there's so many opportunities. There are so many opportunities to explore, to open up our movement, to become something really, really wonderful. It is wonderful already, but it can actually, the fruits can always get sweeter. How much time do I have, Nityananda? I'd say it's 11:28. Oh, nobody else is going to speak besides us three? Okay. Okay, so another thing that I remember during his schooling, when I would visit him, not so much here in Dallas, but especially in Cambridge, when he was in Cambridge, we would sit down for prasadam, and he would always say, he said, this is where I get relief. This is where, he would say, this is where I take shelter. I'm in there reading all these books by all these atheistic and antagonistic and agnostic and speculators all day long. I had to sit there and read all this garbage, and they said, this is where I really relish my, this is where I get protection. This is where I get juice or whatever you want to say and stuff like that. I don't like it when people imitate the voices of people, but I'll just go saw me sometimes, you go, hey, Maharaj. Remember, kind of like little nasal tone. Hey, Maharaj, what are you doing? So one time I was, there was two instances I remember him saying that to me. One was, hey, Maharaj, because every day we would take lunch together upstairs when I was just nursing him during his illness. And the first day we had like a nice meal. He had usually had a nice meal, three or four vegetables, savories, chapatis, rice, dal, everything. And I took one bite of each one, and then I just put them all together in the middle of my plate, mixed them together. And hey, Mars, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, what? He literally put his spoon down. Hey, Mars, what are you doing? And I go, what do you mean, what am I doing? He goes, what are you doing? You're just like, why are you doing that? You know, he's just... you're just ruining your meal. I said, no, no, I could still taste everything individually in my mouth. And he's going, what are you talking about? I said, no, no, I taste the dal, I taste the sabjis, I taste it. I said, you know, and just, he pauses for a second, he goes, okay, dress to please others, eat to please yourself. That's the end of that one. He just, you know, eat to please yourself and dress to please others. That was his mantra, some Chanaka Pandit sloka or something. And so he just like let it go. He said, and every day I would just take one bite of each thing and mix it together. And he would just look at me and just kind of go. If we have time, I'll tell you the other story. About in L.A. during the GBC meetings in 1980, when Rita and Undermars ordered the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You all know that story. Yeah, and there was like 8 GBC gurus at the table. I know, no, there was like 10. Huge dining room table, HDGs at one end, TKGs at the other end, everybody's in between. And I was Rita and Undermars, the secretary in that time, and he pops his head in the kitchen and says, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And Goswami Maharaj had organized the feast. It was like 10, 12 course feast, you know. And I said, Maharaj, I'm not giving you a peanut butter and jelly. I don't care what you say. Finally, like, yelling at me, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and potato chips and chutney. I said, oh, God. So anyway, we did it. And Tamal Krishnamurti, like, what are you doing? He goes, you have a nice Vedic meal. And Maharaj goes, this is a Vedic meal. The bread is chapatis, the peanut butter is dal, the jelly is chutney, and the chips are savories. And then Sach Rup Maharaj goes, can I have one too? And the next thing you know, the whole table, we're getting like loaves of bread brought in from the temple, jars of peanut butter and jelly bread shipped in. Dukha Huntry, I don't know, she was like a secretary for the BBT. She was in there with the thing shredding potatoes, cooking them in ghee, like we had five ghee. every pot in the stove with ghee, cooking potato chips, and Tamal Krishnamurti would not surrender. And then that night, Maharaj wanted another peanut butter and jelly sandwich around 7:30. So I was in the kitchen making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and Maharaj came in, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm making Maharaj a peanut butter and jelly sandwich." He says, "You make it. I'll serve it." And he went in and handed him. He said, this is as much as I'm going to surrender. I'm not going to go further than this, you know. And then one time in Cambridge, I think remember that building. So his house, he was on one side, and then you walk up the stairs and the guest room was on the other side, and there was a little kind of like, the hallway was wide, and then it got skinny. Where it went skinny, there was a little desk there, and I was sitting there, and I bought like 20 postcards, and I used to send postcards to all the kids. You know, Saretta used to get and Danila Mani's daughter, Shamali. You just met kids from all over the country, and I was sitting there, "Hey, Maharaj, what are you doing?" I said, I'm writing, I'm sending postcards. He says, "Shouldn't you send them postcards?" He said, "Who are you sending them to?" And I give him my list. And he goes, "Man, why didn't I think of that? I should have thought of doing that. That's something I should." Anyway, that's the postcard thing. Oh yeah, here's another one from Cambridge. He probably notices me sitting here with my dhoti on, unironed as usual. You know the story, right? So I fly in, I'm on a round-the-world ticket, and I fly in, and I didn't have my clothes ironed before I left India, but they were all washed, but they weren't, I washed them, but I used to wash them, I couldn't stand, you know, if you pay the Dobie Waller, you know, so many rupees per piece, it's actually more expensive to do your laundry in India than it is to go to the laundromat here in America and do it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm so thrifty that I just refuse it. I just wash my own clothes and hang them up, but I wouldn't iron them, right? So they're all in my suitcase, and now they're not ironed in my suitcase, you know, for 12 hours. They're all crumpled up. And Mara said, "Let's go for a walk." And I said, "Okay, let me get dressed." So I put on my dhoti, and I come out, and he looks at me and says, I ain't going outside with you looking like that." I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "They're not." I said, no. I said, "Mara, they're perfectly." I said, "You think I can't tell if they're ironed or not?" Right? So he said, "Just a second." He goes into his room. He takes me into his room, and he goes to his closet. He's got like 10 sets of clothes, all perfectly, I mean, starched, iron, you know, to like military specs, right? And he takes one out. He goes through, and he's like looking to see which one he's going to give me, right? He goes through, and he says, "Okay, go put this one on." He said, "Then I'll go outside with you. Otherwise, you're not coming with me," right? And then later on, he'd say, hey, Maharaj, I'm sending you a gift. All my old clothes, right?" When his clothes would get older and worn out, he'd send them to me. He says, you're a Guru Kuli. You work with the Guru Kulis. You can use these in your rough and tumble service. Because I'm going to university, I got to look really nice. But you don't have to look so nice. It's okay. I'll just do a couple more things. Just a couple more, and I'll end it. The iron, the dhoti. And then to exemplify Sankarshan, and again, Chuck Reeves' remark, how much care he had for his disciples. I was with him one time, and there was one of his disciples that hadn't been chanting their rounds. And so he asked the person, as you can see, I'm doing it gender unknown, therefore no one can speculate who the person is, and I'm not even saying where we were, so you won't know, because people pick on other people, which is a problem we have to stop. And so the person goes on and says, "Well, what do you think?" The person says, "I can do 8 rounds, Gurudev, I can do 8 rounds." He says, "No, you do 4. No, Gurudev, I can do 8. No, you do 4. Gurudev, I really know I can do 8. If you know you can do 8, I know you can do 4. You do 4 and we'll work from there." This is the kind of compassion he had. In other words, he understood that this person was trying to please him and go beyond their capability, their honest capability, And therefore he saw that this person has a desire, but I'm going to give you permission to start at 4. And then we'll work, and he said, and we'll go from there. Just like one time, there's a famous conversation with Prabhupada on Juhu Beach. And one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, you used to instruct us to chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, I never said that. You know that story? Giriraj Swami talks about it, right? And so all of you know, he never said, what do you mean, Prabhupada, you just used to, we chanted 16 rounds is, I said, minimum 16. Not that only 16, you can chant more than 16, but the minimum is 16. But in certain circumstances, sometimes I tell people, because a lot of times devotees get disheartened when they can't do everything they think they're supposed to do. So they get so disheartened, rather than chanting half the rounds, they won't chant any rounds because they can't chant 16. And I say, even if you just do one, just start with one, you'll get inspired. And the next day, I'm guaranteeing you'll think, man, I could actually do more. And before you know it, you'll be at 16, but just start somewhere. Just start somewhere. And then you know the famous story from when the devotees at the Radha Davadar around 1972 or 73 took all the flowers from my house. Everybody here knows the story. And so one day when I told that story to Goswami Maharaj, he was trying to figure out who that devotee was that came to my door. And he was really, taxing his brain. And he kind of knew who it was, but he wasn't completely sure. And he mentioned somebody's name, and I don't remember what he said. But then he told me, he kind of looked and he said, actually, I get credit for making you a devotee too, because that was the beginning of your devotional service. Because he was in this devotee making process, probably 108 disciples came and offered. Prabhupada said, I want to see results if you're going to stay in America. And in Chicago, like 108 bhaktas came up and offered a rose to Prabhupada and said, now this is results, right? So he said, I get credit for you too. And then as far as choosing between me and Indra Dumna Maharaj to be his assistant, I remember one day we were up in the hallway. We would take a walk. Our japa walk was in the hallway up, going into his quarters, that long hallway that goes back to the bedrooms. And then he'd always be just leaning on me. He'd have his head leaning on my shoulders and just kind of sometimes an arm on my back to kind of walk, and we just walk back and forth. And he said, yeah, this is why I had you. You're the right size. Indra Dumna Maharaj is too tall. I'm the right size. So that's all I had down here on my little notes for the little storytelling time. Oh, I did. No, I will. I'll skip that one. We do miss Goswami Maharaj, but it is the fact that he's present in our life by all his disciples and followers. He's present in this Kalachanji Dham. Several of the leaders that came, leading devotees that came to Kirtan 50 the last 3 years. Actually, I had an idea that the first one was, we've had three, right? The first one was Kirtan 50 because it was the beginning of the 50th anniversary. The second one was Kirtan 50 because it was the end of the 50th anniversary. And I told Haridas, I said, name this one Kirtan Area 51. Because that's where all the aliens come, right? He said, Maharaj, we can't name it. Everybody thinks it's a cool name, Area 51. Now we can't do it anyway. But anyway, we're all aliens here. We're not meant to be here. We're supposed to be in the spiritual world. We're in the wrong place, right? I mean, it could be a fitting title anyway. No one listens to me. That's not true. So anyway, the many of the leaders that came, we were having discussions, and they said the reason some of them say that, well, I'll just mention one. Govinda Maharaj said, Govinda Maharaj goes to so many festivals every year. And Govinda Maharaj told me that Kirtan 50 is the best festival he goes to every year. And he said, it's because of the mood of Kalachandri Dham that was established by Goswami Maharaj. He said, "You still, it's not gone." He said, "You still feel Goswami Maharaj is here." And I remember one time upstairs during the illness, he says, "You think this is my temple? You think this is all me?" He said, "You go downstairs and look in the pujari room." And I think he says, "You'll see 18 pictures of different gurus here. It's not just my, I'm not the only guru here." He knew exactly how, I don't know, it was, I think he said 18. He knew exactly how many spiritual masters were present in this community. He said, "You think I'm the only one?" "No, I'm not the only one here." But he said, "I invite everyone here as long as they want to be part of this community and establish this community as a real, you know, Krishna conscious community that has a proper environment." He said, "That much we can do." And so Goswami Maharaj is, you know, 16 years after his departure at Kirtan 50, Area 51, right? Kirtan 50 last year was noticed by many of the leading godbrothers that came. And he was personally present at these kirtans in the way that his disciples and the mood of this temple is. So there's actually no loss, there's only gain, and there's more and more to be gained daily under his shelter and the shelter of Radha Kalachandri. Thank you very much. Guru Guru Deva Ki Jai. The Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj. Jai. Shri Rita Dwaja Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. I was so engrossing, I forgot my mic when I came here. Just lost in the pastime. So many wonderful pastimes, Maharaj. Brings memory back so much, so strongly. All right, so there's an offering that's coming off the altar right now. And so there's going to be a little bit of a disturbance to us as we're doing. It's not a disturbance, but anyway, we have to make some arrangements for that. Mohini, would you like to say something now? Please come over. I'm going to bring this up so that you don't have to. Sorry, no, this actually reaches there. If you want us to bring the mic over there, I think that might be a good idea. Take the mic over there, right next to it.
Maybe the wireless?
It'll reach. So while you're speaking, they're going to be bringing the table up. Hopefully you don't feel disturbed too much about it. But, you're making the offering to Gurudev.
I want to share one pastime of Tamar Krishna Maharaj and Kiriraj Maharaj. This is one of my favorite pastimes, but I never speak about this because I don't like talking about this pastime. But it's very special for me because it shows how much love and surrender Tamar Krishna Maharaj has for Srila Prabhupada. And I don't clearly remember it because I don't speak about it. But this was in Bombay when they were collecting donations for the Hare Krishna land for Juhu. And Tamar Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj would go to different donors for collecting money. And this was in summer. It was a very hot day. And they were supposed to go to one person to collect donation. And because it was very hot, they went to the office of that person, and it was, you know, they didn't have some AC or something. It was very hot. They were waiting. So that person, he wasn't coming. He made them wait a lot. They were waiting for some hours, maybe. And he finally came after they waited for a long time. And when the three of them were talking, he wasn't talking to the point. He wasn't talking about the donation that he was supposed to give. He was kind of trying to, I don't know, waste their time, or he was making them wait a lot. He was ignoring the point of donation. And finally he said that, you know, both of them, Giriraj Maharaj and Dhamakrishna Maharaj, were trying, started talking about the donation part. And then he said that, you know, it's too hot, why don't you get some cold drinks? So they just wanted to get to the donation and get going, go to the next person and continue their service. So they went out and got some cold drink or some soda or something. And then he said, it's so hot, why don't you pour it on yourself? So, and they did it. Dhamakrishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj, they just opened the bottle and they poured it on them. So then that person realized that, I think it was testing them how much they really want to serve Srila Prabhupada. So once he saw this, he realized that they really want to serve Srila Prabhupada and they are, you know, very surrendered. And so he gave them the donation. But I never share this pastime because I feel very bad that he behaved in such a way with both of them. But this shows how much love the Dhamakrishna Maharaj and, in fact, all these Prabhupada disciples have for Srila Prabhupada, that they're ready to do anything and everything. It doesn't matter to them whether they have to, you know, it doesn't matter what they have to do. They just do it. And I also wrote one poem about separation. So I want to read that also. This world will lose its jewel like you. Darkness, she increases her hue. Once again falling into the deep pit of separation, we find ourselves helpless in such a pitiable situation. When the time comes for us to prove our love, this is when it's known from the bodily conception how much we are above. How selfless and deep and alive are our hearts, even after the departure of the heart of our hearts. Our eyes seem to be blind when you, our Lord and Master, we cannot find. To live or to die is a question that does but arise, for the separation leaves us with endless cries. But as the Acharya's words we hear, this feeling of separation is the greatest one can bear, for meeting and separation are of the same tree, fruits, but separation of the two bears the strength of the roots. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mohini. So for those of you who are here, because all of you are here at the same time, it's easier for me to say this now, but if you'd like to speak to anyone and everyone who will meet with her so that you can talk about Gurudev's pastimes with Gurudev or anything about this temple, because both of them are so intimately related with one another, I just wanted to know that she would really love you to come over and speak with her. And we have a nice devotee here, Bhakti Jason. Jason, can you stand up? Of course, all of you know Jason, Dr. Jason, but he's, come on a little, so that those were, so he's actually arranging the times when you can go. I think right now we've arranged it so that every day between 6:30 and 8.
Well, I'm arranging, and also Mother Nirita Kishore is arranging as well. So you can speak with either one of us, and the times can be 6:30 and 8. Every evening, or if you're only available on the weekends, then Mohini is also available to meet with you in the afternoon or whenever you're available. It's pretty much like all day on Saturday and Sunday. And I know that some of you might want to meet individually, but some of you might want to meet together. It's all okay. So just coordinate with me or Mother Nirita Kishore. And then we can get you a time where you can speak with Mohini. And I know that everybody has wonderful pastimes that they have, these remembrances. And it's really going to be great to be able to live it again by sharing the story. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So as I said, this evening again, we're starting at 6 o'clock because we want you to everyone to speak. Everybody has an opportunity to speak. But also, way prior to me, Radhanath Prabhu was the temple president at this temple. So it's etiquette that, you know, these past leaders who actually did so much to move this temple to where it is today also speak at this time opportunity so that we can also hear. So Radhanath Prabhu, please can you come? By the time you're done, the offering will be off, so we'll start with the Guru Puja after that. And noon, the aarti will start anyway. It's about 5 minutes to noon. 6 minutes.
Omaganata Miranda Shahjana Swapaya Chakshum. Your hard act to follow, Maharaj. Really enjoyed that. That was fantastic. Thank you. There's so many things to remember about Srila Gurudev. When Sankarshan Prabhu, the first letters we ever got came from you and the books. I think the thing probably is Srila Gurudev was such a visionary. When we met with him in, I think it was 78, the first time we met with him, he had told us about this idea he had about a community of householders. And from everything we had heard, that was like a foreign concept. And at that time, we were still doing the airports. And as good as our name was, it was also equally as bad because we got donations from people who didn't want to give donations. So when Gurudev approached us with the idea of a community, of course, we were interested. And I think it was January, February, first time he called us down. So it was cold. I remember it being cold. I'm sorry, I've got this little cold thing going. So we come down. I've told this story before, but some of you may not have heard it. So if you have, just please endure it.
Thank you.
So he walks us around the neighborhood. The bank wasn't there. We didn't own the houses. There were houses on the other side of Fairview. It was pretty much like East Dallas used to be. It was just, it is what it was. But he tells us about this grandiose idea he has that all these houses are going to be owned by devotees. That this will just be a community of Vaishnavas. closer. So I don't like to hear my voice. I'm sorry. No, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. I was probably the biggest skeptic. I'm like, you know, this place sucks. You know, it's we lived in Tennessee. We had houses out by the lake, and it was a huge cultural shock. So anyhow, we visited that week, and I think he called us down one more time, and we were up in his bedroom. Of course, at the time, the Darshan room and all that was not like it is now. And again, he's encouraging us to come. You know, this is going to be like this. This is going to be this way. He says, but I want y'all to take your time and make sure that this is the right thing for you. So whenever you're ready, you know, we'll do this thing. I believe it was 2 months later. He calls us down yet again. And he goes, what's taking you guys so long? It's like, well, you told us to take our time. He says, you've had, 5 months now? So what's the problem? So actually he procured our promise to come before he actually let us leave. And I remember, I don't remember the devotee's name. He was real tall. Gokul, is that it? Real funny guy. Anyhow, he had to rush us to the airport to make sure that we made our flight on time. But anyhow, he had that vision back then when this was a brahmachari movement. But he knew that all those brahmacharis one day were going to have to be householders. So he wanted to plan for that years ahead before it ever happened. His idea for the temple room was all in his head. And with the help of one of his godbrothers, Pashupati Prabhu, he was able to extract that and actually come together piece by piece. And the incredible thing about that is that was in 1980, and that was the time of the Guru Reform Movement. And he had taken sabbatical. And so when he comes back, we're a skeleton crew. I've learned years later that there was an actual swap made, that what disciples he had in St. Louis and Chicago got to come here, and then his godbrothers went there. So we were left with, you know, yourself, I think, Bhakti Rupa, just a very Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu, just a few. And, you know, we're struggling. We're really struggling. We got the farm in Oklahoma. So basically we had Oklahoma, which was like a sinkhole that was taking most everything. We had Houston, which was the, what do they call it, the shoebox. And this place was the gymnasium. So Gurudev comes back, and so we're thinking, okay, we're just going to, like, just keep. And he's like, no, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we're like, whoa. You know, but it was purely his energy. And he had already had in his mind that after this was done, to showcase this, we were going to have a restaurant. So he could see years ahead of himself that the real preaching in this city was not going to be us going out and handing out books. It was going to be prasadam distribution. And we see how that's held true. Even to the point when now he's come later, he decides to enter academia. He knew that the way to spread our movement was by becoming one of them, by putting himself, not one of them, it's probably not the proper way to say it, but he put himself in that position to be part of the crowd. And he knew from being part of that crowd that it would spread out. And that, along with the help of some other godbrothers, that's true. Now we are well known in academia as an intelligent, bona fide religion. The second thing that really was just really, really on my heart this morning as I was driving in is for years and years and years, everybody just talked about the sauce that Gurudev gave out, how hard he was. And he was. I mean, he was determined, but he never put any more pressure on anyone else than he put on himself. And he was determined because he wanted us to be good because he was determined to be good for Srila Prabhupada. But I remember so many times that he would ask. I remember being called up at 1:30 in the morning, and there was something on his mind about one of his disciples. And he wanted to hash it out with myself and one other person, I don't remember who. And as it turned out, this devotee was getting ready to bloop the next day. And Srila Gurudev heard that. And I don't think there's any better example of Srila Gurudev's mercy than the person sitting in this chair right now, because I call them my lost years, but I stepped away for whatever reason. And even though I wasn't chanting my rounds, doing no service, just giving some Lakshmi, Srila Gurudev never let me go. He never lost contact with me. He constantly encouraged me. And the fact that I could have just fell totally away, only by his mercy do I sit here now. I genuinely understand the mercy of the spiritual master. It is absolutely, positively causeless. I've spoken with some people who have actually never met Srila Gurudev, but Srila Gurudev has come to them in dreams, or they've got some inspiration from him. And that shows that after all these years, that his influence in Krishna consciousness is absolute. It's just incredible, all the things that he accomplished in such a short lifetime. And he did that simply because, and he told me this himself, from the day he met Srila Prabhupada, he was 100% his disciple. Everything he did, he only did with the idea in mind that he was serving Srila Prabhupada. And there's no better legacy than that. So I don't understand the appearance. I know it's Bibi Govinda Maharaj said that it's like appearance is like the setting of the sun and the disappearance is like the rising of the sun and the disappearance is like the setting of the sun. We're all older now, most of us, and our time is coming. And Srila Gurudev left way too early, but I genuinely believe that Prabhupada has him somewhere setting up everything that needs to be done. And because of Srila Gurudev's pure love for all of us, that he's got service for us waiting on the other side. And that's the only way I can reconcile in my mind that he disappeared from us, because ISKCON so sorely needed him. We needed his leadership. We needed his wisdom. We needed his vision. And more than anything, we needed his humility. And I consider myself extremely, extremely fortunate to have had his personal association and to be able to call myself his disciple. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Radhanath Prabhu ki jai. How many times, for those of us who travel, we've heard somebody say they saw a video or read a book and felt some really great connection to Gurudev and suddenly started taking to the process in a very nice way. So it is true. All right, so now we're going to start with the Guru Puja. And the aarti has already started on the altar.